And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Welcome to this edition of the podcast, Monday the 16th of July, 2018, a day that will live in infamy. I swear to God it will. I either watched or listened to the entire horror show from Helsinki today, as I'm reasonably sure you did. I've never been witness to a president actually committing treason. I followed Watergate all those years ago, but and I was utterly convinced that Nixon was a traitor to the United States. But until Trump, I have never witnessed treason being committed. Trump has now forfeited any claim he has to being president of the United States. Too bad it's not up to us, the people. We never did elect the son of a bitch. But it's up to the spineless, filthy, stinking Republicans in the House and the Senate to remove this traitorous dog from office. You think they're going to do it? Here's what Speaker Paul Ryan said. Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, he gave proof, first of all, of the Republican, the fascist party's total lack of patriotism and absolutely no backbone in standing up to this fucking idiot Trump. Following Trump's stance, siding with Russia against his own country, Trump, Ryan said that Trump, quote, must appreciate that Russia is not our ally. There is no moral equivalence between the United States and Russia, which remains hostile to our most basic values and ideals. The United States must be focused on holding Russia accountable and putting an end to its vile attacks on democracy. End quote. Okay, that'll do it. That's the Speaker of the goddamn U.S. House of Representatives, who should be ordering the House Judiciary Committee to begin investigating whether or not there are grounds to bring articles of impeachment against this traitorous fucking dog who runs the United States. Former CIA chief John Brennan just came right out and said it, that Trump has committed treason. He should be impeached. What he did today rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. Do you think the Republicans are going to do anything? No, they're not. I'm having a hard time today, this evening. I really am. I can't believe that, and I can't, even Trump, I can't believe that somebody would commit overt treason right in front of the entire world. Do you realize what this orange fucker has done to not just the reputation of the United States, but our standing in the world? Okay, you may believe that we should have no standing, that we should just fuck it and come home and build walls and forget about it, a variation of which I used to believe. I really did. I said, why do we have troops all over the world? I still maintain that we should bring our troops home. But that has nothing to do with the fact that Donald J. Trump is a traitor to the United States. Now, you know, again and again and again and again with the same question. What are we going to do about it? What are you and I going to do about it? And the other 100 million people in this country or 150 million people in this country who have the right to vote, what are we going to do about it? I'm not talking about voting, not now. I'm talking about millions of people in the street. Yeah. Yeah. Any other country on fucking earth, whether it's Poland or Nigeria or Venezuela, any other country on earth where such a naked grab of fascistic power would have brought millions of people or the equivalent thereof in these cities or these countries into the streets saying, no, this is not going to happen. But here, here in the United States, we don't give a fuck. We really don't. What a shame. Was it Ben Franklin who said, you know, we're going to give you a republic. It's up to you if you can hold on to it or some such nonsense. Well, we know the answer. The interpretation of what Trump has done in the past few days, the trashing of our closest allies in the European Union and NATO, the insults against Angela Merkel and Macron and Theresa May, it's clear that the Trump is in the process of repaying Vladimir Putin for Putin's assistance in delivering the presidency to this filthy pig Trump. That's what this is about. Trump's insistence on this meeting with the Russian dictator was a, you know, it was a thank you tour, a victory tour. Greg Sargent, writing this morning, a little bit before this press conference occurred, and God only knows what happened behind closed doors for 2.5 hours, Trump has sold out the United States. Are you fucking listening to me? I mean, if you're not listening to me, what the hell are you on this podcast for? The man has committed treason. The man is a traitor to the United States. And the American Fascist Party is going to do nothing about it. It's up to us. Why am I yelling at you? We haven't done anything. Yes, Kathy.
I don't have a mic.
Oh, you don't have a mic. That's right. Well,
what I was going to say, Mike, remember the intelligence he gave to the Russian agents who he invited into the Oval Office 3 days.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Kathy's has no mic. I've got it. Or no, it's someplace. Where is it?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, here it is. I've got your cable. The intelligence that Trump gave to the Russians he invited into the Oval Office with no American media present when he revealed top secret, the highest classified information available about Israel's bullshit to the Russian so-called Ambassador Lavrov, who really is nothing more, as they all are, an agent of the Russian GRU, the military branch of the intelligence apparatus in Russia. But I get so frustrated because we Americans are doing nothing. It should be very clear. It should be very clear that what used to be called the Republican Party, the American Fascist Party, is going to do nothing to remove this fucking traitor from office. Nothing. Nothing. And there's enough time left between now and the November elections for Trump to appoint yet another Supreme Court justice. And these filthy fucking Republicans are going to allow it to happen. I understand that Pence, that little prick, tweeted at some point today about how the president has displayed once again his insistence on protecting and upholding the United States of America and the people who live here. Pence should, don't say it, Mike, because your monitors at the National Security Agency will swoop down. Hi, guys, fuck you. The NSA people will swoop down if I say what really is on my mind regarding Pence and Trump. Greg Sargent, writing at the Washington Post, he says, whatever comes of this meeting, he wrote it before the meeting, that storyline, that this was a payoff, will remain operative. The known facts have now established beyond any reasonable doubt, and the only alternative interpretations of that now established basic bargain that makes any sense are actually more nefarious than this one. In Helsinki today, Trump and Putin spoke to reporters before entering their private meeting. Trump predicted that, quote, I think we will end up having an extraordinary relationship, end quote, adding that, quote, getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing, end quote. Getting along. Trump is a fucking coward among everything else. I've said that before. But getting along with the criminal organization that is destroying our system of electing our leaders, among other things. You know, it was just Friday that Special Counsel Mueller indicted a dozen Russian military intelligence office officials. And Trump has not fucking mentioned that one time, not one time. Not only did he fail to bring up Russian sabotage, but he also tweeted this, quote, in blaming only previous U.S. leadership and the current Mueller probe for bad relations with Russia. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, that's not the tweet. I don't have the tweet in front of me. But that was a tweet where the Russian agent that runs this government, Donald Trump, where he said that that it's our fault, that we're the ones that fucked up, and that Obama and even back to Bush, they fucked up, and that it's Mueller's probe into this witch hunt that is causing the bad relationship between the United States and Russia. And as Greg Sargent points out, in doing that, Trump is not merely spinning in a way that benefits him, Trump, but he's also giving an enormous gift to Vladimir Putin by signaling that he, Trump, will continue to do all he can to delegitimize efforts to establish the full truth about Russian interference, which in turn telegraphs that Russia can continue such efforts in the future. And in doing that, Trump is in real time, right in front of our fucking faces, colluding with Russia. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? As Greg writes, it's been widely pointed out that Putin benefits from today's meeting simply because it is happening, just like the case with Kim Jong-un. As the New York Times puts it, the meeting will be a, quote, success, end quote, if it takes place, quote, without any major friction, end quote, which would provide, quote, a symbolic end to Western efforts to isolate Russia over its actions against Ukraine in 2014, end quote. And on top of this, of course, all the other actions Trump is taking to destabilize the Western international order, the trade wars, attacks on NATO that are obviously designed to weaken it. All of that is a gift to Putin. What the fuck does Putin have on Trump? Man. Sergeant goes on, but the point I want to make here is that even if you do not view those steps by Trump as a kind of reward to Putin for helping swing the election, since they could be motivated by all sorts of other things, it is unavoidably clear that Trump's ongoing treatment of Russian electoral interference, in particular, is essentially a reward for doing just that. Even if Trump does end up taking a tougher line with Russia on international affairs, the point stands. As long as he continues to dismiss the seriousness of the sabotage itself. Jesus. And boy, do I feel like a total asshole, moron, idiot, fool, freak, ignorant, jerk when I think about how I used to talk about several years ago in big praiseworthy terms of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Julian Assange, as other people have pointed out, and I used to laugh at, Julian Assange is a Russian agent. He is. He aided and abetted in the treason that Trump so willfully got involved in. It was Putin, the GRU, Assange, and Trump. Oh, and Trump's fucked up criminal family. All of them working in concert to do what they did. And they did it. They did it. Aaron Blake also writes for the Washington Post, pointed out that the meeting today between Trump and the dictator Putin was just about everything that the critics of that meeting, who advised against it, feared it would become. As Blake puts it, standing alongside Putin, Trump not only downplayed, if not doubted, Russia's 2016 actions, but he also regularly volunteered defenses for Putin and repeatedly blamed both sides for the strained relationship. Trump began the news conference Monday by asserting that Russian-American relations have been worse than ever before. The fuck is he talking about? What about the Cuban Missile Crisis? Oh, that's right. That was the Soviet Union. But then Trump says, yes, it's been the worst it's ever been. But that all changed 4 hours ago, Trump said. When I sat down and worked things out, I really believed that, end quote. And then he fell back on that filthy, weakling position. Yeah, I think everybody's to blame. You know, when everybody's to blame, then no one's to blame. When a reporter asked Putin about Russian interference in the election in 2016, Trump actually volunteered to answer for Putin, practically offering his own defenses of Putin. And he used the time when he was answering the question to assert once again that Democrats were coming up with excuses for their electoral loss. Trump said, quote, it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win, because the Electoral College is much more advantageous to Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans, end quote. You know what the fuck he's talking about? Oh, well. Oh, well. And even right there on the world stage, Putin was trolling this ignorant fucker, Trump. The Post writes, with Pope Trump standing next to him, Putin attacked his regular American antagonist, Bill Browder, for his ties to Democrats, a reporter. Those ties to Democrats, you might recall, were part of the package of information offered to Trump's campaign at the Trump Tower meeting with a Putin-aligned lawyer. and the Republicans in this country, the filthy, cowardly, chicken shit, disgusting Republicans. Like that sick son of a bitch Jim Jordan and that crazy pointy-headed bastard from South Carolina. Now, I've asked myself over and over and over again, what's it going to take for the Republican Party to rise to its constitutionally mandated responsibilities, including an oath every single one of the fuckers took about protecting and defending the U.S. Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic? The biggest enemy to the United States right now is Donald Trump. The biggest enemy that the United States has right now is Donald Trump. I don't know. I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll go through some of the news conference with Putin and Trump today.
I said we've been looking for illegal immigrants. Can we check your car? Saying nothing funny. I think we were on the same boat back in 1694.
I will skip past Vladimir Putin's remarks at this joint press conference, and move right to the Q&A. The first question came from a Russian journalist. And through a translator, this was a question. Good afternoon. My name is Alex Amashkov. Amashkov. Interfax Information Agency. I have a question to President Trump. During your recent European tour, you mentioned that implementation of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline makes Europe a hostage of Russia. And you suggested that you could free Europe from this by supplying American liquid natural gas. But this cold winter actually showed that the current model, the current mechanism of supplying fuel to Europe is quite viable. At the same time, as far as I know, the U.S. had to buy even Russian gas for Boston. I have a question. The implementation of your idea has a political tinge to it, or is it a practical one? Because there will be a gap formed in the supply and demand mechanism, and the first is the consuming countries who will fall into this gap. And the second question, before the meeting with President Putin, you called him an adversary, a rival. And yet you express hope that you will be able to bring this relationship to a new level. Did you manage to do this? Okay, the first question about the gas pipeline. The second one about Trump's romance with Putin. Trump. Well, actually, I called him a competitor. And a good competitor he is. And I think the word competitor is a compliment. I think that we will be completing, when you talk about the pipeline, I'm not sure necessarily that it's in the best interest of Germany or not, but that was the decision that they made. We'll be competing. As you know, the United States is now, or soon will be, but I think it actually is right now, the largest in the oil and gas world. So we're going to be selling liquid natural gas. And we'll have to be competing with the pipeline, and I think we'll compete successfully. Although there is a little advantage locationally. So I just wish them luck. I mean, I did. I discussed with Angela Merkel in pretty strong tones. But I also know where they're all coming from, and they have a very close source. So we'll see how that all works out. But we have lots of sources now. And the United States is much different than it was a number of years ago when we weren't able to extract what we could extract today. So today we're number one in the world at that. And I think we'll be out there competing very strongly. Thank you very much. And then Putin jumped in. If I may, I'd throw in some 2 cents. We talked to Mr. President, including this subject as well. We are aware of the stance of President Trump, and I think that we as a major oil and gas power, and the United States as a major oil and gas power as well, why, we could work together on regulation of international markets. Because neither of us is actually interested in the plummeting of the prices. And the consumers will suffer as well. And the consumers in the United States will suffer as well. And the shale gas production will suffer. Because beyond a sudden price breakup, it's no longer profitable to produce gas. But nor we are interested in driving prices up, because it will drain just as from all other sectors of the economy, from building, etc. So we do have space for cooperation there. That's the first thing. Then about Nord Stream 2, this is still Putin talking. Mr. President voiced his concerns about the possibility of disappearance of transit through Ukraine. And I reassured Mr. President that Russia stands ready to maintain this transit. Moreover, we stand ready to extend this transit contract that's about to expire next year in case, well, if the dispute between the economic entities, if the dispute will be settled in the Stockholm Arbitration Court. I'm sure Trump knows what he's talking about. Then the question goes to Jeff Mason from the Reuters news agency. Question. Mr. President, you tweeted this morning that it's U.S. foolishness, stupidity in the Mueller probe that is responsible for the decline in U.S. relations with Russia. Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? And if so, what would you consider them responsible for? Trump. Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago, a long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. I think the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things, whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping. You have to do it. Ultimately, that's probably the most important thing that we could be working on. But I do feel that we both have made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it, and people are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign, and they're going to have to try really hard to find something that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. And frankly, we beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint, we won that race. And it's a shame there could even be a little bit of a cloud over it. People know that. People understand it. But the main thing, and we discussed this also, zero collusion. And it has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. We have 90% of nuclear power between the two countries. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on with that probe. Question for President Putin. If I could follow up as well, why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And, now this is still the Reuters guy, and will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by U.S. grand jury? Trump answers. Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win because the Electoral College is much more advantageous to Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe, and that was a well-fought battle. We did a great job. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak for the second part of your question, but just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit that these are not people involved in the campaign. But to the average reader out there, they're saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. And even the people involved, some perhaps told miss stories, or in one case, the FBI said there was no lying. There was no lying. Somebody else said there was. We ran a brilliant campaign, and that's why I'm president. Thank you. Putin. As to who is to be believed and who's not to be believed, you can trust no one if you take this. Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation. We do have interests that are common. We are looking for points of contact. There are issues where our postures diverge. We're looking for ways to reconcile our differences, how to make our effort more meaningful. We should not proceed from the immediate political interests that guide certain political powers in our countries. We should be guided by facts. Could you name, this is still Putin talking, could you name a single fact that would definitively prove the collusion? This is utter nonsense, just like the president recently mentioned. Yes, the public at large in the United States had a certain perceived opinion of the candidates during the campaign, but there's nothing particularly extraordinary about it. That's the usual thing. President Trump, when he was a candidate, he mentioned the need to restore the Russia-U.S. relationship, and it's clear that certain parts of American society felt sympathetic about it, and different people could express their sympathies in different ways. But isn't that natural? Isn't it natural to be sympathetic towards a person who's willing to restore the relationship with our country, who wants to work with us? We heard the accusations about a conquered country. Well, as far as I know, this company hired American lawyers, and the accusation doesn't have a fighting chance in the American courts. So there's no evidence when it comes to the actual facts. So we have to be guided by facts and not by rumors. Now, let's get back to the issue of these 12 alleged intelligence officers of Russia. I don't know the full extent of the situation, but President Trump mentioned this issue, and I will look into it. This is Putin. So far, I can say the following things off the top of my head. We have enacting an existing agreement between the United States of America and the Russian Federation, an existing treaty that dates back to 1999, the Mutual Assistance on Criminal Cases. This treaty is in full effect. It works quite efficiently. On average, we initiate about 100, 150 criminal cases upon request from foreign states. For instance, the last year there was one extradition case upon the request sent by the United States. So this treaty has specific procedures we can offer the appropriate commission headed by Special Attorney Mueller. He can use this treaty as a solid foundation and send a formal and official request to us so that we would interrogate. We want to hold a questioning of these individuals who he believes are privy to some crimes. And our law enforcement are perfectly able to do this questioning and send the appropriate materials to the United States. Moreover, we can meet you halfway. We can make another step. We can actually permit official representatives of the United States, including the members of this very commission headed by Mr. Mueller, we can let them into the country and they will be present at this questioning. But in this case, there's another condition. This kind of effort should be a mutual one. Then we would expect that Americans would reciprocate and that they would question officials, including the officers of law enforcement and intelligence services of the United States, whom we believe are, who have something to do with illegal actions on the territory of Russia. And we have to request the presence of our law enforcement. For instance, we can bring up the Mr. Browder in this particular case. Business associates of Mr. Browder have earned over $1.5 billion in Russia. They never paid any taxes, neither in Russia nor in the United States, and yet the money escaped the country. They were transferred to the United States. They sent huge amounts of money, $400 million as a contribution to the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Oh, God. Well, that's the personal case. It might have been legal, the contribution itself, but the way the money was earned was illegal. So we have a, still Putin. So we have a solid reason to believe that some intelligence officers accompanied and guided these transactions. So we have an interest in questioning them. We can all, that could be a first step, and we can also extend it. Options abound, and they can all be found in an appropriate legal framework. Question to Putin. And did you direct any of your officials to help him do that? Mueller. Putin. Yes, I did. Yes, because he talked about bringing the U.S.-Russia relationship back to normal. Don't ask me what these answers mean. Then a staff member from Russia said, I think there can be three questions from the Russian pool. Russia Today, you have the floor. Question. Thank you so much. Good evening to everyone. My name is Ilya Petrenko, RT TV channel. Mr. President, would you please go into the details of possibly any specific arrangements for the U.S. to work together with Russia in Syria? If any of these kinds of arrangements were made today or discussed? And my question to President Putin in Russian, since we brought up the issue of football several times, I ask, use the football language. Mr. Pompeo mentioned that when we talk about the Syrian cooperation, the ball is in the Syrian court. Mr. Putin, in the Russian court, is it true? And how would you use this fact, the having the ball? Trump. Well, I guess I'll answer the first part of the question. We've worked with Israel long and hard for many years, many decades. I think we've never has anyone, any country been closer than we are. Did you hear the word Israel in anything that the Russian journalist? No, neither did I. Back to Trump. President Putin also is helping Israel, and we both spoke with Bibi Netanyahu, and they would like to do certain things with respect to Syria having to do with the safety of Israel. So in that respect, we absolutely would like to work in order to help Israel. And Israel would be working with us, so both countries would work jointly. And I think that when you look at all of the progress that's been made in certain sections, with the eradication of ISIS, we're about 98%, and other things, that have taken place that we've done and that, frankly, Russia has helped us with in certain respects. See, there are no sentences there. These are disjointed phrases that this sick fucker just puts together. It's hard to understand what he's even saying, but let me go on. But I think that working with Israel is a great thing. And creating safety for Israel is something that both President Putin and I would like to see very much. One little thing I might add to that is the helping of people. Helping of people. Because you have such horrible, if you see, and I've seen reports, I've seen pictures, I've seen just about everything. And if we can do something to help the people of Syria get back into some form of shelter, and on a humanitarian basis, and that's what the world was, really, a humanitarian basis, I think that both of us would be very interested in doing that. And we are. We will do that. Okay? Thank you very much. That's the President of the United States. Question. Excuse me, but for now, no specific agreements, for instance, between the militaries, Trump. Well, our militaries do get along. In fact, our militaries actually have gotten along probably better than our political leaders for years. But our militaries do get along very well, and they do coordinate in Syria and other places, okay? Putin. Yes, we did mention this. We mentioned the humanitarian track of this issue. Yesterday, I discussed this with French President Mr. Macron, and we reached an agreement that together with European countries, including France, we will step up this effort. On our behalf, we provide military cargo aircraft to deliver the humanitarian cargo. See, at this point, this is where I just went fucking berserk and started tearing up all of my living room furniture. The Russians and al-Assad have created the humanitarian crisis. And any time just a minute-to-minute ceasefire is declared to bring so-called humanitarian aid to the civilian population of Syria, of which 600,000 people have been murdered, every time an effort is made to bring humanitarian relief, it winds up with the people waiting for the humanitarian relief being bombed, strafed, gassed, and murdered. So Trump and Putin are certainly equal on one level. They're both demonic fucking liars. Both of them. But you know that. And today, Putin goes on, I brought up this issue with President Trump. I think there is plenty of things to look into. The crucial thing here is that a huge amount of refugees are in Turkey, in Lebanon, in Jordan, in the states that border, are adjacent to Syria. If we help them, the migratory pressure upon the European states will drop, will be decreased manyfold. And I believe it's crucial from any point of view, from humanitarian point of view, from the point of view of helping people, helping the refugees, and in general. Now, keeping in mind what Putin's ultimate goal, where it concerns the European Union and NATO and any alliances that still exist among the European nations, his goal is to destroy those agreements, those treaties, those attempts to work the Europeans to work as a political and economic bloc. What better way to disrupt them than to create as many refugees as you possibly can that close to the underbelly of Europe so that people continue to flood in and that Europe begins to get the reputation, if it hasn't already, as being a place that does not want refugees, no matter how many millions they've taken in? This fucking Putin is a demon. Much more so than Trump, only because Putin is much brighter than Trump, and Trump is a coward. Jesus. Putin goes on. I agree. I concur with President Trump. Our military cooperate quite successfully together. They do get along, and I hope they will be able to do so in future. And we will keep working in the Astana format. I mean Russia, Turkey, and Iran, which I informed President Trump about. But we do stand ready to link this effort through the so-called small group of states so that the process would be a broader one. It would be a multidimensional one, and so that we will be able to maximize our fighting chance to get the ultimate success in the issue of Syria. And speaking about the having the ball in our court in Syria, President Trump has just mentioned that we've successfully completed the World Football Cup. Speaking of the football, actually, Mr. President, I'll give this ball to you, and now the ball is in your court. All the more that the United States will host the World Cup in 2026. Trump, thank you very much. We do host it, and we hope we do as good a job. That's very nice. This will go to my son, Barron. We have no questions. In fact, Melania, here you go. Okay. One of the staff members. From the final question from the United States, the final question of the United States will go to Jonathan Lemire from the Associated Press. Lemire, thank you. A question for each president. President Trump, you first. Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. What? Who? My first question to you, sir. Who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again? Trump. So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know where is the server and what is the server saying. With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. Many people come to me. Dan Coates came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be. But I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while. But I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server. What happened to the servers of the Pakistani gentleman that worked on the DNC? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails gone. Just gone. I think in Russia, they wouldn't be gone so easily. I think it's a disgrace that we can't get Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people. But I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer, okay? Putin. Mr. President? Trump. Yes, please. Putin. I'd like to add something to this. After all, I was an intelligence officer myself, and I do know how dossiers are made up. Just a second. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing. I believe that Russia is a democratic state. And I hope you are not denying this right to your own country. You're not denying that United States is a democracy. Do you believe United States is a democracy? And if so, if it is a democratic state, then the final conclusion, this kind of dispute, can only be delivered by trial. by the court, not by the executive, by the law enforcement. For instance, the Concord Company that was brought up as being accused, has been accused of interference. But this company does not constitute the Russian state. It does not represent the Russian state. And I brought several examples before. Well, you have a lot of individuals in the United States. Take George Soros, for instance. With multi-billion in capital. But does it make him, his position, his posture, the posture of the United States? No, it does not. Well, it's the same case. There is the issue of trying a case in the court, and the final say is for the court to deliver. We are now talking about the private, the individuals, not about particular states. And as far as most recent allegation is concerned about the Russian intelligence officers, we do have an intergovernmental treaty. Please do send us the request. We will analyze it properly, and we'll send a formal response. And as I said, we can extend this cooperation, but we should do it on a reciprocal basis, because we would await our Russian counterparts to provide us access to the persons of interest for us who we believe have something to do with the intelligence services. Let's discuss the specific issues and not use the Russia and the U.S. relationship as a loose change, the loose change for this internal political struggle. Does this make any sense to you? In other words, what Putin is saying, I know you figured it out yourself, but what he's saying is, hey, your investigator wants to question the 12 people he indicted. Okay, send him over. We'll all sit down and we will ask the questions, and your investigator, Mr. Mueller, can listen and take notes. And then, in all fairness, we will send to the United States our investigators who know that there are certain things that was done by your intelligence agencies that is legally questionable. So we will ask questions of them. Fair enough? Let's take a break, Kathy. We'll be back momentarily. Do stick around. I've got some more of this transcript, not a whole lot, but some more to go through. So stay with me. I'll be right back.
I hate Republicans, baby, I can't stand those Republicans. I hate that old Republican Party.
You know, to restate what I said at the beginning of the podcast, having either listened to or watched or both most of what occurred today where it concerns this meeting in Helsinki, if I had any doubts up to this point, and I did not, but if I or anyone had any doubts as to the traitorous, treasonous nature of Donald Trump, wouldn't it all be washed away by now? Now, I understand that this little pigeon, Sean Hannity, and somebody else from the Fox Sewer is going to or has already had an interview with Trump. And I know that the people who watch the Fox Sewer have been waiting and waiting and waiting to hear the real shit, not the fake shit that went down at the press conference between Putin and Trump today, because that fake shit, all that was asked by people not affiliated with the Fox Sewer. So therefore, it couldn't have been true or relevant or even real. It was all fake. So the Christians, the dumb fuck Christians who support Trump, and the dumb fuck Republicans who support Trump, We'll probably watch the Hannity Trump circle jerk or mutual masturbation later on today and come away from that bullshit absolutely secure in their knowledge that once again, our poor president is being beset on all sides by Hillary Clinton and George Soros and what were some of the other names, Maud? I don't remember. And all the bad guys who are out to try to destabilize our glorious leader's administration. So let me go back for another few moments to this press briefing this afternoon between Trump and Putin and the questions asked by Russian and American journalists. Question for President Putin. Thank you. Two questions for you, sir. Can you tell me what President Trump may have indicated to you about officially recognizing Crimea as part of Russia? And then secondly, sir, does the Russian government have any compromising material on President Trump or his family? At which point there was a lot of laughter. This is just so fucking funny. Putin. President Trump and, well, posture of President Trump on Crimea is well known, and he stands firmly by it. He continued to maintain that it was illegal to annex it. Our viewpoint is different. We held a referendum in strict compliance with the UN's charter and the international legislation. For us, this issue, we put paid to this issue. And now to the compromising material. Yeah, I did hear these rumors that we allegedly collected compromising material of Mr. Trump when he was visiting Moscow. Well, distinguished colleague, let me tell you this. When President Trump was at Moscow back then, I didn't even know he was at Moscow. I treat President Trump with utmost respect, but back then, when he was a private individual, a businessman, nobody informed me that he was in Moscow. Can you believe this lying fucker? I mean, it was the first time the Miss Universe or whatever, grabbing by the pussy Trump was putting together, occurred in Russia. And it was promoted by Trump and produced by Trump. And Putin knew nothing about it. Back to Putin. Nobody informed me he was in Moscow. Well, let's take St. Petersburg Economic Forum, for instance. There are over 500 American businessmen, high-ranking, high-level ones. I don't even remember the last names of each and every one of them. Well, do you remember? Do you think that we tried to collect compromising material on each and every single one of them? Well, it's difficult to imagine an utter nonsense on a bigger scale than this. Well, please, just disregard these issues and don't think about this anymore. Trump had to get in the last word. It would have been out long ago. And if anybody watched Peter Strzok testify over the last couple of days, and I was in Brussels watching it, it was a disgrace to the FBI. It was a disgrace to our country. And you would say that it was a total witch hunt. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Now, that is a slightly abbreviated Trump-Putin news conference from today. I'm still having difficulty with the idea that a president of the United States, Donald Trump, would take the word of a murderous, fascistic dictator over the word of 17, I believe the number 17, U.S. intelligence agencies who all together agreed. That the Russians interfered in our last presidential election and shifted the outcome from Hillary Clinton to Putin. Remember how everybody said Hillary Clinton is going to win in a landslide? And then she didn't. Is that because the people of Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin decided they liked Trump better based on what they were hearing? Or was it because they thought Trump would be a better president based on the bullshit, the trolling that was done via social media by the Russians? Or was it neither? But I've heard over and over and over again today from all sorts of sources. Of course, I'm limited to MSNBC and CNN. I won't go near the fucking Fox sewer. I just won't. Because if I do, I'll pull out my gun and start shooting the television. And I don't think Kathy would like that because we couldn't afford to buy another one. But that's what would happen. Seriously. So I listen to CNN. I listen to MSNBC. And I hear the typical talking heads talking about what happened today. And I listen to all the experts of both networks bring on. You know, ever notice that the Fox sewer, from what I understand, they never have experts. They just, it's an incestuous little group that just constantly tickles each other's genitals in order to get a reaction, but they really don't say anything. It's just the same old bullshit over and over and over again. But I digress. So I listen to normal television journalists, and I go online and read the journalists at the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and Huffington Post and Salon and on and on and on. And I find that there really is nothing that I can add except my own personal outrage that the United States is now in its chief executive officer position, now has a traitor to the United States, a man who by any definition, the loosest or the tightest, has committed treason against the United States, and against whom the Republican demons in Congress will not authorize the House Judiciary Committee to begin hearings on whether or not there are impeachable offenses to be considered. Now, if the Democrats, as scatterbrained and unable to put together anything on a coherent basis now, if they by chance happen to take control of the U.S. House of Representatives this November, and if upon taking that control, they do not immediately, I don't give a fuck what Nancy Pelosi keeps saying, if they do not immediately begin hearings on whether or not there is enough evidence to charge Trump with impeachable offenses, if that doesn't happen, what? What, Mike? What? If that doesn't happen, what? Come on. What? If that doesn't happen, our last best hope of recovering this republic is gone. There will never be another chance. There will never be another chance. Because Trump will skate free. He will nominate, or he already has, and he has a couple more coming, United States Supreme Court justices. And there are enough traitorous, fucking, filthy, goddamn Democratic senators who will vote to confirm these fascist pigs that Trump is nominating. Yeah, we have Democrats who will do that. That's right. You know who they are. You know who they are. That fucking Joe Manchin of West Virginia. You know what a traitorous dog he is, too. So, and this is why I can't gin up the confidence, the confidence inside myself to say, don't worry, Mike, everything will work out. The Democrats will turn out in numbers high enough to vote for Democratic candidates. No matter what the fuck the Democratic candidate self-identifies as, a Democratic socialist, a liberal Democrat, a conservative Democrat, a Democrat who sucks eggs, it doesn't matter. And I just cannot, based on observation over the past 35 years, I cannot, try as I might, gin up enough hope, confidence, that the Democratic Party will bring this horror to an end. Now, we've already been threatened by the insane, blood-curdling, so-called Christian fuckwads out there and their militia fascist buddies that any attempt to remove Trump from office will be met with violence. So prepare yourself for that. These psycho fuckers who make a charge like that, even though they're all cowards, they're all assholes, they'll still do it. So don't be surprised when that happens. Kathy, how about a break? I'll be back momentarily. Do stick around. Earlier this afternoon, I got an email from Rick in Encinitas, California. And Rick was hoping. He wrote, "Dear Mike, please go fucking nuts tonight on the show. Thank you." I can't go any nuttier than I just, for the past hour and a half, have gone, Rick, without putting my mental health at risk. I find it difficult, if not almost impossible, to process this thought. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. I can't. I don't know if handle is the right word, but I can't. Let me hide Rick's email here. Too bright. I can't process that statement, even though I know it's factually true that this miserable idiot is the president of the United States. But, what I'm hoping, after this conference, what's today? Today's the 16th, right? Yeah, Monday the 16th. After this debacle that occurred in Helsinki, I know the American Fascist Party leadership is going to do shit. They're not going to do anything. There will be some people like Bob Corker, who's getting out of the Senate, John McCain. There are a few people who will point out the obvious, that Donald Trump has committed treason and his actions do rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is the constitutional definition of the time to begin impeachment proceedings. But the white male Christians who control the House of Representatives and the Senate, for that matter, will not do that. And we know the reasons for that. They are hypocrites. They hate their own Messiah. It's hard to put it into fresh words. I've said this so many times. I know you are. I certainly am sick of hearing the words and phrases that I use repeatedly. There's no point in continuing to do that. I think about the screaming session of horseshit that these filthy goddamn American fascists led by the craziest son of a bitch in the U.S. House, Jim Jordan. When was it, last Wednesday, when they had Peter Strzok, FBI agent, at the witness table, the FBI agent who said to his girlfriend, "We're not going to let Trump get elected." And I watch these Republican demons attack Strzok, chew on him, bite him, stick their pitchforks in him. Anything to discredit him as if he's the issue. You know, Mueller continues to ignore what's going on in the other two rings of this fucking circus. He controls what's happening in the center ring, around which is a huge curtain. So nobody can see what's going on in that center ring. We see what appear to be bodies slamming against the curtain, but we don't know what's going on. Oh, we hear every once in a while indictments, more indictments, guilty pleas, Manafort in prison because he's a fucking gangster. We hear this stuff. Meanwhile, in the rings to the left and the right of the center ring, the clown show continues. And it gets more and more frantic, to the point where the clown shows now include cannibalism as these sons of bitches attack and eat each other. It goes without saying, I don't know why I'm going to say it, but it goes without saying that these are extremely dangerous times. I don't think the average American understands how much danger surrounds this country right now. The filthy pig is on his way back to the U.S., it's my understanding. It's going to be a real horror show when the son of a bitch lands and begins his victory tour. Where will he go? Dayton, Ohio? Yeah, probably there. Muncie, Indiana? Yeah. Flint? No, not Flint, Michigan. Grand Rapids, Michigan, maybe. Paducah, Kentucky? This disgusting man will take his show on the road. And his brain-dead followers will applaud and cheer and guffaw and laugh and goose each other up the ass and wear their hats and as they listen to this illiterate son of a bitch telling them what a great man he is and all the wonderful things he's doing for them, which at this point amounts to nothing, not a goddamn thing, nothing. But Trump and his handful of closest advisors, the real sick fucks who are in there now, Bolton, Miller, shine. Jesus Christ. They will do nothing but encourage this sick son of a bitch, this narcissistic bastard, to continue to do what he's doing. I had something here on Shine. Let me see if I can... Before I get to that, while we were all watching someplace else, about 5 days ago, the Senate confirmed Trump's nominee to lead the criminal division of the U.S. Justice Department. The Senate voted 51-48. And the only Democrat who voted to confirm this guy was this fucking Joe Manchin from West Virginia. He voted, oh, yeah, let's have him. The guy they approved is someone named Brian Benczkowski to be Assistant Attorney General. He was nominated in January. Actually, he was first nominated more than a year ago, in June of 2017. He was renominated in January after his nomination was bounced back to the White House at the end of last year. What's the deal with this guy? Well, his nomination had stalled amid questions about his work at Alpha Bank, a Russian bank, probably the one where Trump has incredible outstanding debt. But this asshole's work at Alpha Bank, a Russian bank that has faced scrutiny and federal investigations into Moscow's influence on the election of 2016. Democrats, with the exception of the filthy fucking Manchin, Democrats pounced on the selection of Benczkowski, however you pronounce his name, saying that his nomination is an attack on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation as he probes Russian election interference. See, Trump is trying to load up the Justice Department with the people he's going to need when he fires Rod Rosenstein. That will happen, especially now. Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Senate Democrat, said this, quote, I cannot believe the Republican Party just rubber stamped a nominee to head the Justice Department's criminal division, who has no prosecutorial experience, who chose to represent a Russian bank with deep ties to Vladimir Putin, and who would not commit to recuse himself from Russia-related matters if confirmed. And he was confirmed. This could prove to be an historic mistake, end quote. Senator Dianne Feinstein, top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, also questioned if Benczkowski would give Attorney General Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III insight into the investigation about his ties to the Russian bank. Jeff Sessions recused himself last year, not from the Russia investigation, but from investigating this miserable fuck who's now the head of the criminal division of the U.S. Justice Department. Feinstein said in a statement, quote, Benczkowski's close ties to Attorney General Sessions raise serious questions as to whether he would serve as a backdoor, allowing the Attorney General to see into the investigation, of Benczkowski. This jerk disclosed to lawmakers last year that he used to represent Alpha Bank, which, by the way, is one of Russia's largest financial institutions. And he said in a letter, which was obtained by the New York Times, that he was initially unable to reveal his former employment because of a confidentiality agreement. The FBI investigated Alpha Bank after it found that one of the servers linked to the bank was communicating with a server tied to the Trump Organization. Because nominations only need a majority support, Trump's picks can clear the Senate without any help from Democrats. But you always have that one Democrat, like this fucking weasel Joe Manchin. Mitch McConnell praised Ben Joukowsky ahead of last Wednesday's vote. The Turtle said, quote, his resume includes distinguished service in five different leadership positions at the Department of Justice under three attorneys general. His nomination has won praise from a number of former Justice Department officials who served under presidents of both parties. Oh, well, okay then. This Jim Jordan thing, his involvement in this sex scandal, this rape, male-on-male rape at Ohio State University that Jordan claims he knew nothing about. He's a lying son of a bitch, Jordan is. I don't even want to get into it right now, though. Trump's attacks on NATO, what difference does it make? Here's something that is extremely sad to me and shameful. The Kansas Department of Children and Families is, according to them, quote, actively looking into the Villages, a shelter, the Villages for unaccompanied minor migrant children in Topeka, Kansas. After an investigation by Think Progress found that its human resources officer, one Jeffrey Montague, has a history of sex crimes. Cool, huh? He's a good Christian, by the way. Oh, very devout Christian. In a statement of Think Progress from Kansas Department of Children and Families, this. Quote, the Kansas Department of Children and Families takes this situation very seriously. Secretary Gina Meyer Hummel is actively looking into the concerns and issues concerning Mr. Montague's employment at the Villages, and she remains committed to ensuring the safety and well-being of children in Kansas, end quote. The state's governor, Jeff Coyler, who's a Republican, on Friday said that the Villages should fire Montague. This is what the Republican governor said, according to a spokesperson for him. Quote, while it appears that the rules governing federal contractors allow his continued employment at this facility based upon the technical letters of the law, it is our hope that the Villages would choose to do the right thing for the vulnerable children they serve and separate him from this position based upon the information publicly available, end quote. Now, Montague, the guy in question, he's 63 years old. He's also a stage actor in Topeka. Think Progress reported last week that he was banned from the Boy Scouts of America in 1989 after allegations that he made sexual advances on an exchange student at a high school where he worked. The school didn't renew Montague's contract, according to the Boy Scout Council. And in October of 2007, police in a Topeka, Kansas police charged Montague with solicitation of sodomy in a public park. He entered a diversion agreement 1 month later in Topeka Municipal Court. Montague's history first came to light in 2014 after Democratic candidate for governor Paul Davis hired him, Montague, to appear in a campaign ad. Think Progress first reported Montague's employment at the Villages, which, by the way, has a $6 million contract with the Department of Health and Human Services, the federal department, to house unaccompanied little migrant children. Isn't that nice? Two former employees told Think Progress that Montague has regular contact with children at the shelter, despite his position as a human resources officer. These employees also said that they warned the Villages about Montague's history, but their concerns were brushed off by administrators. The shelter's lead case manager, Judette Padilla, said, quote, "I'm not going to go searching for Jeff's background. I am not concerned because I know he passed all the background checks he needed to pass to work with kids," end quote. Yeah, I guess he did, didn't he? The former employee who spoke with Think Progress on condition of anonymity asked Judette Padilla whether she would leave her own children with Montague. Padilla answered, quote, "Well, yes, I would, because I know Jeff. So, I mean, in that aspect of it, I've known his family and him for 30 plus years," end quote. And in a statement of Think Progress last week, the Village's executive director, Sylvia Crawford, a good Christian lady, defended her decision to keep this filthy pig on staff. Made sexual advances on an exchange student at high school. Solicited sodomy in a Topeka, Kansas park. But these are good Christian, Caucasian, Republican Americans. And everybody knows that a good Christian like Mr. Montague would not try to nibble on some poor little boy's penis. He would never do that. Or some poor little girl. Well, he wouldn't go for the little girls. Well, maybe he would, since he's a pedophile. But because Montague is, I'm sure, or has, convinced everybody of his great love of Jesus H. Christ, there's no reason to check, as this woman who runs the village has said. Oh, I don't have to check. I'm not going to go digging up stuff. Digging up shit is what you mean. I'm not going to do that. I've known his family for years. Sure you have. I bet you all go to the same church, don't you? No? And then in Virginia, immigrant children as young as 14 who are locked up in a juvenile detention center in Virginia say they were beaten while they were handcuffed. They were locked up for long periods in solitary confinement. They were left naked and shivering in concrete cells. This is America. I'm talking about fucking America. This is what we do now. Until we change it. And I don't mean by some goddamn electoral process. You know what I mean. The abuse claims against the Shenandoah Valley Juvenile Center near Staunton, Virginia, are detailed in federal court filings that include a half dozen sworn statements from Latino teens jailed there for months or years. Teenagers who came to this country to find a decent life, and they've been in prison ever since. Multiple detainees, this is according to the Associated Press, say the guards stripped them of their clothes, strapped them to chairs. This is America. A Honduran immigrant who was sent to the facility when he was 15 years old said, quote, "Whenever they used to restrain me and put me in the chair, they would handcuff me, strap me down all the way, from your feet all the way to your chest. You couldn't really move. They have total control over you. They also put a bag over your head. It has little holes. You can see through it, but you feel suffocated with the bag on. End quote. And in addition to the children's firsthand translated accounts that are included in these court filings, a former child development specialist who worked inside the facility independently told the Associated Press this week that she saw kids there with bruises and broken bones. Broken fucking bones that the kids say were the result of beatings from the guards. In court filings, lawyers for this detention facility have denied everything. Oh, there's a surprise, huh? Boy, I just noticed something weird. All of a sudden, my computer screen started recording what I was saying. Fucking NSA, you fuckers! Yeah, it was coming right up on the screen. I've got a screensaver up, right? No, I don't want Alexa. I don't want anything. I got a screensaver up, and all of a sudden, what I'm saying is being typed out across the screen and then disappearing and then typed a new sentence. You fuckers. Many of the children who are in this detention facility near Stanton, Virginia, were sent there after immigration authorities accused them of belonging to violent gangs, even though there was no proof presented, nothing. If you're a teenage boy, you're a violent gang member. Get your fucking ass in prison. It's because of Trump. MS-13 is all over the place. Last Wednesday, before he left the country, Trump said, quote, "Our Border Patrol agents and our ICE agents have done one great job. We're throwing them out by the thousands." MS-13 gang members, we're throwing them out by the thousands. Did you know that? Well, you know it now. But a top manager at this center said during a recent congressional hearing that the children are not gang members at all. And they're suffering from mental health issues resulting from trauma that happened in their home countries. Problems that this detention facility cannot handle. All they can do is make them worse. The program director at the facility, who's probably fired, that she testified this April 26 before a Senate committee reviewing the treatment of immigrant children. She said, quote, "The youth were being screened as gang-involved individuals. And then when they came into our care, they were assessed by our clinical and case management staff. They weren't identified as gang-involved individuals." End quote. Most of the children held in this facility in Stanton, Virginia, wound up there because they were caught crossing the border illegally. They were not the children who had been separated from their families under the Trump Nazis policies. But the facility in Stanton, Virginia operates under the same program run by the U.S. Office of Refugee Resettlement. This detention center was built by a coalition of seven nearby towns and counties to lock up local kids charged with serious crimes. But since 2007, about half the 58 beds in this facility are occupied by both male and female immigrants between the ages of 12 and 17. Now, what do you suppose happens? How many rapes do you suppose happen there? Week to week, day to day, well, night to night. Though incarcerated in a facility similar to a prison, the children in there have not yet been convicted of anything. And by the way, Virginia ranks among the worst states in the nation for wait times in federal immigration courts, with an average of 806 days before ruling, over 2 years. A spokesman Kelsey Wong, program director at the facility, said that many of the 30 or so children housed there on any given day have mental health needs that would be better served in a residential treatment unit. But they're not being sent to residential treatment units. They're being forced to live in cells. Wong and other managers at the Shenandoah Center, including Executive Director Timothy Smith, did not respond to phone and email messages seeking comment. Of course not. Well, I think I am out of energy for any more conversation for this particular podcast. I will be watching, and perhaps you will too. I'll tell you what. Does our phone work? Does our phone for this podcast work? Okay. Well, maybe the next program, maybe, we'll take a chance and take some calls. See, I hate to say, oh, we're going to take some calls. And then on the first call, have it fuck up. And I have to say, oh, well, it didn't work. Oh, well, blah, 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 something's wrong. Oh, it's maxing out. You know, that's happened so many times. So we'll see if it'll work. And we'll try it tomorrow evening. Unless I change my mind. I can be like Trump, change my mind, right? We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, we'll just have to see. I don't know if this happens to you, but when I'm doing nothing, I can just be sitting in the car driving, listening to MSNBC on Sirius, or at home, sitting on the couch, watching MSNBC. While this shit's been going on today, Helsinki circle jerk. And even though I'm doing nothing, when they go to commercial breaks, I find that I've been holding my breath, or I've been breathing very shallow breaths, and I have to take a deep breath. I'll see you next time we get together. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.